Helm, set a course.
Headed.
Engage.
Let's fly.
Welcome, one and all, to Discovery, a Star Trek podcast by Fantastic Geek, your official, unofficial Star Trek podcast. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Hailing frequencies are open.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everyone. So grateful to be bringing you our preview for Star Trek Discovery's fifth and final season.
I can't believe we're about to dip our toe into the beginning of the end here. First, though, Pete, want to note that last week we were talking the Star Wars Acolyte series, the podcast of it up on the Pop Culture Podcast feed. It's going to get its own feed soon. Indeed, by the time most people listen to this, the feed might already be up.
Yes. A lot of fun talking about that in advance of its two-episode June 4th premiere. Matt, we talk about those podcast gods. Discovery will finish up the Thursday before, and then boom, we'll be right into the Stars War after that.
Yeah, blessed with podcast content there. And sticking on the Disney end of things for a moment, Marvel Legends will have a new season up April 15th. Pete, what will that cover?
No one seems to know, because they don't, other than X-Men 97, have a show going right now, and really, wouldn't it come before? People think it'll be a Deadpool and a Wolverine, minisode episode. Essentially, these are like clip shows to get you ready for the next thing. One of the things I talked about when we talked about fixing the MCU a couple months back was them utilizing that a little bit more. Like, we're people in the know, and we never know when these are coming. And now they've put out, hey, one's coming, a new season is coming, but not said like what'll be in it, which is a little unusual. But all right, I'll 2 weeks time, I will check it out and see what we've got.
If nothing else, Pete, they have us talking about it. I know with the, now that Disney Plus officially has Hulu as a part of it, and they changed the app color and the Disney Plus logo.
Yes.
There was someone on Instagram.
This is speculation that they're going to do like some Echo ones, but Echo's been out for 3 months.
I know this with that new logo, that somebody was saying, oh, they've taken away the classic Disney Plus logo. You mean the one that's like,
yes,
4 years old?
Five years.
Yeah. Like, congrats, person on Instagram making a video about this. It worked. They got people to talk about it for free by changing the color of a thing. They got you to talk about how Hulu plus Disney Plus, you know, like, it worked. It worked.
They did.
Pete, also sticking with Marvel, There's been some sneak peek stuff for Thunderbolts. Can you tell us more?
Yes. Florence Pugh on her social media took us essentially behind the scenes there, you know, in costume, in Atlanta, around sets, around the director. Really, really well done. She's got a tremendous social media presence and awareness. And building buzz for that project now.
Starting to bring things back to Star Trek. So Star Trek Prodigy season 2 is this correct, Pete? It's out in its entirety in France?
Yes, it leaked right after we finished our podcast last week, our DC Film Fest, the Flash episode, and then I'm sending this to Matt, and it's all over social media. And then it's like the creatives telling people not to spoil it. It hit state TV, a state TV streamer in France, the whole thing. And people are like translating it, and there's screenshots and stuff like that. and you thought maybe, all right, damage control, they'll push the button on Netflix, considering they got the full first season and are taking the new second season, that like, all right, we'll put it out now, and still no. It's a real and official thing. Paramount sold this to this France state TV streamer, and it's almost like the perfect entree into talking about Paramount's struggles.
Pete, here are two numbers for Paramount's struggles, particularly as acquisition merger talks continue with this, that, the other. As of right now, at least according to quick internet research here, Paramount is worth $8 billion. Its debt is $14.6 billion. So if, whatever, if Fantastic Geek came in and said, Paramount, we want to pay you, we want to pay you a premium for what you are worth. We want to pay you $10 billion. That would get you a corner of the debt and not necessarily ownership. Like, it's such a messy situation. And, you know, what is a cornerstone of the jewels in the crown of Paramount? It's Star Trek. Mm-hmm. I know that Paramount wants us to know the Section 31 movie has wrapped, and this summer they're going to start shooting the as of yet uncast Academy show, and the future is bright. And yes, Stranger Worlds production is underway right now, as is Lower Decks. But I'm telling you, there's a cliff that's not right now. There's a cliff that's a year in the future that might be a right now when people stop making Star Trek again for a little while. And that's a scary cliff that is there with all this financial, you know, damage that's in the air.
Paramount as a whole is just so poorly managed. And that certainly extends to their PR front, Matt, which really doesn't like us. Q Discovery, a Star Trek podcast by Fantastic Geek, going back all the way. Yeah, we love the product. We hate the corporate entity. And never more apparent this week with the botched situation with France. Then this, continually plummeting floor on Paramount and their beyond dwindling hopes to recoup their investments. And then this Variety article and the stoogish way in which maximizing profits seems to be the corporate order.
Even speaking of things being botched, the notion that Variety ahead of time had access to Star Trek Inc. and had this nice article that came out earlier in the week, where they clearly the reporters had been to Toronto to see some filming of this and that the other, and there were plum quotes from, you know, all sorts of people, and it was a very nice article. Slight snicker there as the reporter said, multiple department heads made sure to note that they were saving money at every opportunity. Like, clearly they had been told, make sure you tell the reporter that we're really fiscally responsible. Make sure. And it was the same talking point repeated over and over. But overall, fine. It was a glowing article. And then 24 hours later, Variety, you know, also doing due diligence, which is not always the case with Hollywood press, also doing the due diligence to report all this terrible financial stuff for Paramount, which is to say, I don't think that Paramount/Star Trek open up the doors to have all this great access. I don't think that they engineered a puff piece to then 24 hours later also have the same outlet report about the terrible financial situation there. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Variety doing both a Star Trek puff piece and telling you tough, you know, Hollywood business news, but it's clearly not what Paramount was trying to engineer.
And nothing helps to illustrate this more than the fact that Discovery does its fifth season and then gets told that's it. I've watched the full panel from South by Southwest, which they've since put online. Did you watch the whole thing, Matt?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. Part of me is so kind of bittersweet. I want each of these 10 episodes to be beautiful and be wonderful when I get there. Until then, I'm kind of angry at Paramount for pulling the rug out from the show and this and that and the other. So it's kind of with a tender heart that I'm proceeding into this season. But I'll be ready to go next week 100%.
But to hear showrunner Michelle Paradise say that, you know, they didn't make any changes to what they had filmed before, that they went back and they filmed a finale of sorts, which is kind of like tacked on to what they already had, but that it will feel very organic, that she wouldn't go back and change anything they did to, you know, make it so that they would end up. Part of me suspects greatly that one or more of our players here are going to be involved in the Starfleet Academy show. But that's not written in stone. The other two, you know, once you're in Star Trek, you're always in Star Trek, you know, and coming up on a year now since Picard ended, and, you know, still the calls for the legacy show and everything else at a time when, as you said, but hey, we save money on this and we save money on that. We save money on that other thing. The idea that they're going to support on top of Starfleet Academy, on top of this made for TV movie, on top of Strange New Worlds, on top of Lower Decks, even more when the conglomerate at the top is constantly downgraded by the financial people. You know, Star Trek has never been healthier in terms of what they're doing, and 58 years of advancing the message of this hopeful, optimistic future where humanity gets their act together and all that stuff we've come to love, and Discovery reigniting that and making Picard and Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds and Section 31 and Prodigy and, you know, Starfleet Academy, all possible. But hey, you go from 15 episodes in your first season to 14 in your second, to 2 13s, to a what winds up being the final season of 10, and, you know, slight asterisk, they're all getting 10 at this point. Nobody's getting more than that. It is super expensive. We get it. But yeah, it just feels like such a backhanded compliment on the way out the door. Thank goodness they're at peace with the way it ended. I'm super interested to see with the back six episodes, I've seen the first four, how it is received. But, you know, Discovery had such an uphill battle from the start. All I've thought about, Matt, as I've rewatched the fourth season, getting ready for this final season, was being there in 2016 at Star Trek New York. Okay. And a fan coming to the microphone and saying, please don't screw this up.
And they have not. I know that I'm on the record. I think you're on the record as well, saying Discovery seasons 3 and 4 are not necessarily the high point of the series in a variety of ways. But, you know, this show has had such a unique vision of what Star Trek could be, and I think also has had the bravery to be prepared to evolve itself, perhaps in reaction to just how people are interacting with the product, but also just, you know, how there really is season one is separate from season two, seasons 3 and 4 a bit more similar, although going for just kind of the mind-bending science, hard science, science fiction in season four. And then now apparently something, a slightly different flavor here for season five. They have not screwed this up. And as you say, Pete, heavy rumors that there might be some people who continue on to the Academy series. The Academy series definitely taking place in the 32nd century. Reuse of
correct
those.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because it was in the Variety piece. And if you haven't read that, definitely go read it. It was well done. But this was the first time I'd seen YA attached to the Starfleet Academy show, and they mentioned it twice, because the first time I was like, I mean, there's a substantive error in the article. They gave the wrong number of series that have been out there. And it's like, dude, just sit there and count them. Like, I did the math, and I did it like four times, and then I went through and like went through a list. I'm like, this is substantively wrong. Where's Variety's fact checker on this? Because they gave the wrong number. But I'd not heard that. Had you?
I feel like built into my expectation for the Academy show, maybe I wouldn't say that my expectation is it is a YA show, but I think that it's, my expectation is it's going to skew in that direction more than other Star Trek previously had. I'm kind of thinking of,
I get it. You know, they talk about, all right, well, we got to make Star Trek younger, and this is a property with, you know, 910 episodes with the two on the premiere coming, and 600 plus hours, and just dwarfs Star Wars and the MCU and everything else, but that they have an aging fan base. And look, you got two dudes in their 40s talking about this right here. Completely understand that, but you look at the inroads that Discovery has made, okay, and how baked into its premise as much as ever with Star Trek is the Star Trekian message, right? Of infinite diversity in infinite combinations. And, you know, what really hit me watching the panel, and the panel was so well done in terms of, you know, the guests just really, really had great things to say. But Wilson Cruz talking about him and Anthony Rapp, who was not at the panel, he was the only regular who was not, having been openly gay performers for their entire careers and knowing how important it was for their characters to be represented, to be in a relationship, a committed relationship on the show. And it, you know, that just being the way it was.
And Discovery has fulfilled that mission, the mission of diversity, so, so well. I don't think to the exclusion of any story points or things of that sort. I do find myself thinking about another stat from that Variety article, that apparently 1 out of 5 Paramount Plus subscribers watch Star Trek, or watch at least one of the series, or something like that. The good news is it was speaking to the power of Star Trek. The flip side is, and I'm going to keep, you know, ringing this warning bell, Paramount Plus is not a profitable streamer. So,
and it continues to be the worst infrastructure. Matt, have you gone back and watched any Discovery lately?
I have not, no.
Okay. So you know how, like, you click on the tile that is the show you want to watch, right? And then there's usually a little tag at the top, like season 1, season 2. And you can either scroll through the episodes from season 1 and then the episodes from season 2 start going, or you can just click on the little banner tag at the top and go, oh, I want to go to season 3, and then those episodes, right? You with me?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What if I told you, Matt, that Now you have to scroll through the four premieres from each of the four seasons. Then you get the next four episodes that were the second episodes of four seasons, then the third, so on and so forth, before you can finally find what it is you want to watch.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not surprised to hear that. I guess the good news is, as we get new episodes...
Not in order, by the way.
Yeah.
Right now on my screen is season 2, episode 13, What's Past is Prologue. Then season 4, episode 13, Coming Home, which is the fourth season finale. Then season 1, episode 13, Such Sweet Sorrow. Like, not even chronologically 2018,
2022, 2019. I hope that these app things, let alone the financial situation, you know, I hope that it does not result in damaging Star Trek as a brand, which I know I say that with some irony, given as how Star Trek was over in 1969, and then, you know, after the animated series, and then after the motion picture was positive financially, but there was the writing on the wall that, okay, let's have the TV division squeak out maybe one more movie, you know, and so on and so on. Star Trek is perpetually...
Movie, you know. You say? What about the four movies in development, Matt?
I don't think... Well, look, Paramount Pictures, the movie end, separate from Paramount Plus, the streamer, and so forth, these articles have continued to really draw a line between the two. However, they are all under one corporate umbrella, and the desire is definitely to keep the whole corporation together, to not sell things off piecemeal. But I will just point out that the same Paramount, okay, not Kurtzman and his company, it still is JJ and Bad Robot nominally developing these movies for theatrical release. But yeah, these lies, that's the best I can tell what they are. These lies about working on a movie that's going to come out super quick, except we don't have a cast. Oh, it's canceled. It's this and that, the other. It's the same Paramount who's also saying, we really, really are going to start shooting the Academy series this summer. Pete, I'll just point out, yes, as we record this, it's Saturday, March 30th. So on the one hand, summer seems a far way off. A start filming in summer, I mean, summer could be defined as soon as 2 months away. They don't have this show cast, at least not publicly, to sit and say...
We're making this massive set, the biggest ever for Star Trek. And I'm terrified it's going to be written off.
Yeah. And again, that's not... Look, when they hired all these people for these movies that have yet to happen, I'm sure that they were genuinely hired, and they had writers and they had directors and they genuinely were developing it. But that's pennies on the dollar to sit and say, we're going to get, you know, director Matt Shackman and a couple writers from, you know, the current Star Trek TV era, sit down and spitball stuff. And then, okay, cool. We had our meeting. Let's meet again in 3 weeks when you have the latest draft. Like, that's all real work, but that's, what's that costing you a year? A couple $100,000 a year? I don't know, for development. Same thing here. Fine. I'm so happy to hear that there's a bunch of carpenters, electricians, set decorators, designers, and so forth creating these large sets. I'm sure it's true. However, if the new buyer for Paramount comes on in tomorrow and they say, put all new productions on pause. Side note, I understand from a regulatory position, a new buyer couldn't do that until they take ownership. But let's just imagine, Pete, somebody said, let's press pause. Then here's what all those carpenters, electricians, etc. do. They pack the setup. They pack it away. They put it in storage. that's it. You know, we've seen such pauses happen with COVID. We've seen it with the dual strikes last summer and so forth. So if nothing else, Pete, to kind of bring things a bit more squarely back here to Star Trek Discovery Season 5, what a better time than, you know, chaos on the bridge to be anticipating not one but two episodes, you know, in a handful of days on April 4th, to have these 10 episodes run through from there until the series finale on May 30th, to have some familiar writers coming back, to have some familiar directors coming back. On the topic of writers, though, Pete, this will be the first season, if the current credits are accurate, this will be the first season that Alex Kurtzman has not contributed to the writing of an episode of Discovery.
And again, granted, there's so much going on. What really forced me to pause as I watched the South by Southwest panel was that they wrapped production of what would be their final season, Matt, in November 20th, 2022. And here we are a little more than 2 years after the fourth season finale, which really holds up, okay? And we're waiting on this. And then it was, oh, hey, what you've shot? And then, all right, we'll give you a little bit more so you can go and add to it to make it serve as the finale of your series. I'm so anxious to see the rest of it and just hope that it lands, that it's a coda for this. I mean, five seasons of TV is no small feat, particularly now, particularly in the age of Netflix that, you know, three and out. And to think that, you know, outside of America, so much Netflix, you know, for Discovery money, you know, helped to finance the super expensive Game of Thrones, but in Star Trek start to Discovery that was not without controversy. But once we were watching it, you know, to get Michelle Yeoh as the captain initially, and now that we still have her around, even post Oscar, coming to make this movie. But these characters, you know, Michael Burnham, Saru, Tilly, Stamets, Culber, Adira, you know, Book, just to finish off what they've started and to do that in what I think they've oversold a little bit, this return to episodic nature when there's still a season long, you know, quest for a MacGuffin thing. And don't get me wrong, okay, you know, each season, the Klingon War, the Red Angel, the Burn, the DMA has had that. So it is baked into their DNA, less so than Roddenberry's vision of, you know, this future of equality. But I really, really want to be able to fast forward to the end and have it happily, satisfyingly land.
I'll say this. I see there's an article on the Discovery Season 5 Wikipedia page. There's an article going all the way back to March 2020, so pre-lockdown, talking about how the plan was to film Seasons 4 and 5 back-to-back. So fair is fair from a corporate perspective. It might have been 4 years ago that the corporate folks were saying fifth and final, but we're not going to say that out loud yet because through the rearview mirror. That sounds like a way to chug through stuff, to save money, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe this was always going to be the final season. I don't know. But I do think I approach this season with such optimism because I think since the first season of Discovery, and since it was trying to chart, you know, a brand new world, a brand new path for Star Trek in the modern era, I think some better Star Trek has been made. Stranger Worlds and Lower Decks, honing in on how even with our darkest story arcs, we still want some shiny optimism there. So I hope, Pete, that this fifth and final season, that there's the potential there for it to have learned from the shows it has helped sire. I mean, I'll even add to that, in my mind, the best season of Picard, season 3, was the one where they finally talked Patrick Stewart out of things like no uniforms, no Star Trek, no crew gets back together. Like, they finally talked Patrick Stewart into, let's just do the nostalgia thing that also has some new. I'm interested to see, which I feel like maybe that's the through line. Picard season 3, 2 seasons of Strange New Worlds, 4 seasons of Lower Decks. It's new but nostalgic and playing within those two constraints. What does new but nostalgic look like in the 32nd century? One of the benefits to them having gone to the future for season 3 forward is the fact that you're not constantly like, oh man, but we already said Starbase 12 is good. No, like everything is brand new. It's fresh driven snow canonically. Let's see what that looks like, particularly since I think the Star Trek future for the midterm after this show ends on May 30th, you know, we're going back to Strange New Worlds, where I think we're all enjoying it as a show, but it's living within certain constraints and certain countdowns and so forth. If Section 31 continues after its first movie, either as continued movies or if it's a backdoor pilot to talking, you know, it's spoiler alert, it's taking place somewhere in the post Star Trek Generations, pre Star Trek Next Generation area of the timeline, you know, again, we could have a nostalgia show or movie series or whatever from there, ditto for Discovery. Let's lean into what this 32nd century future can look like, particularly since nominally we have the Academy show that's going to pick up that baton before too long.
Right. I mean, the almost like, hey, we'll dribble you this crumb disclosure that Rachel Garrett is a character in that Section 31 movie, being played obviously by a younger actress. So it's like, did Georgiou go back to the Mirror Universe where she was from, where she needed to return because she was falling apart, or, you know, has a fix happen that allows her to go back and find a younger Rachel Garrett? There's even crazier rumors about characters in that movie from other periods of Trek. But with Discovery, with the first 4 that I've seen, and it's not a spoiler, but just to assuage, I think, a lot of our listeners, they're really giving everybody stuff to do. The bridge crew continues to develop, you know, Detmer and Owo. And on top of that, you know, the roster they've built out of, you know, Admiral Vance and Vulcan Navarian President Tarina. And then you add in the people who are new for this season, you know, Callum Keith Rennie playing a Navarian Starfleet captain. And then, you know, the two kind of villain characters, Eve Harlow as Maul and Elias Tufexis as La'ak. All of this, you know, helping to serve this story, helping to, you know, advance the narrative here. It's been really good, and I want to see more of it. I want to see it round out well. And the other thing that came out of that South by Southwest panel is the idea of legacy. Like, you have the legacy now and you have the legacy that 20 years later. I mean, Matt, there's a reason people are up in arms about the Prodigy leak, you know, the Voyager connections there, and people wanting more of that, you know, all these years later. And, you know, even with like Deep Space Nine, and it's how deep that roster went for what a lot of people consider the best of Star Trek in terms of the number of characters and just super satisfying stories and arcs and everything that they did. And, you know, that Discovery started it all for this era of Star Trek. And I don't think that its legacy now can be looked down upon.
Pete, I think it's with that sense of optimism that we're looking forward to this fifth and final season, looking forward to podcasting it, the return of Star Trek Sundays. And then also, too, Pete, you know, we've had a good run recently for our DC Film Fest, but episodic TV is part of the foundation for Fantastic Geek. It's part of the foundation for a lot of our listeners and the conversations that we have on social media, email, you know, people sending in their thoughts and so forth. And I'm looking forward to the you know, that return journey as well.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. We did Echo back in January, but that was, you know, five all at once. And, you know, to think back to late 23 doing Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks. But again, almost 2 years here on Discovery, you know, kind of the second mothership for us, Matt, after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? Like, it was the thing we were doing that it was never a conversation that we would do. It was always the assumption, like, oh, Star Trek is coming back to TV. Okay, we're podcasting that's just the way it is. And, you know, just remembering the moments in my life, you know, I was in a car dealership where my wife was haggling with a car dealer, exchanging texts with you about Discovery in 2016. And all the Chaos on the Bridge moments that this has had, and all the behind the scenes stuff with us, particularly with this series. And then in particular, I think another part of their legacy is going to be how boldly and how fearlessly they dealt with and produced TV in a pandemic.
Yeah, they were one of the first shows back, and I don't think that you could tell much of a difference in terms of the quality of storytelling. I'm thinking, quite frankly, of Pete, what Paramount Plus wants us to call Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, because they've taken off the part one because it didn't do well. But when that finally hit Paramount Plus, I was super aware, like, they're in Venice, Pete, beautiful Venice, but only at night when no one is around except for your actors and stunt people. And there's also smoke, so you can't see that there's no people around. Like, that was never a thing on Discovery. Also, too, their adoption of, let's say, you know, a third-party LED wall, not using the Industrial Light and Magic stagecraft. I think there were some times where you could tell a little bit, but again, with that learning curve of adopting new technology, particularly in the face of, we're not going to go out to a place because of COVID and so forth. It's just, it's been a groundbreaking four seasons. Maybe it always hasn't been a plus 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 level storytelling, but I'm looking for those A pluses to pile up here in the fifth and final season.
Sonequa Martin really has been the soul of this show, and you know, it was always conceived with her eventual ascendancy to captain. And you think about the ups and downs of that, the circuitous route, you know, being a mutineer, being Spock's secret half sister, and the way that they successfully landed that and then gave rise to another, performer to take over Spock, who's just done such a beautiful job in Ethan Peck. And, you know, to birth Strange New Worlds and all of that. But it all begins with her. And this is the beginning of the end of that as we prepare to take these in. But somebody that the rest of her life is going to be associated with Trek. And, you know, look, they've all so largely had second acts come around to that, you know, that Mulgrew is doing animated Trek right now. So I fully expect that at some point in her future that she'll return to this, and a pioneer as the first woman of color in that captain seat, you know, for a series. And then, you know, just the sideways aspect of what Michelle Yeoh's done, and now how she's a Mount Rushmore figure with the success she's had in Hollywood. So yeah, just super excited to see more, to see the end. It is bittersweet, to use the word that, you know, you used before. But at least from what I've seen so far, it's earned, and it's successful.
Well, Pete, this forthcoming podcast voyage made possible by those who support us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek, and our thanks as always to those joining us at that level of the journey.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive content, all sorts of levels to choose from, but it takes just $1 a month to get you in that Star Trek door, and Star Wars, Marvel, DC, everything we might bring you that you'd have access to. Can't contribute though, get yourself over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating or a review in just a couple minutes, and all of which helps us.
And Pete, let's keep those hailing frequencies open. How can people be in touch with you on social media to share their thoughts about Star Trek Discovery?
You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Threads. You can find me on Blue Sky at Peter, PIETERJKETELAR, KETELAAR, 12,600 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter, it's Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on fantasticgeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, and Threads, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with a PH, all one word, like it today.
We are back next weekend for Star Trek Sundays to talk about the first two episodes, which are premiering on April 4th. Cannot wait to have that discussion. With that, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Let's fly.